Hello, this is Pastor Tony Crawford with Dayspring Church. I want to welcome you to another edition of our program today. Very glad to have in the studio with me today, Nick Richardson. Nick, thanks for being with us on our program.
Tony, I'm so glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to meet you. And tell a little bit about who you are, what organization you represent, why you're here, what we're talking about.
Okay. Yes, sir. Again, I'm Nick Richardson, and I'm a member of the Cherokee County Right to Life, and I belong to New Covenant Bible Church, and I'm kind of retired, semi-retired. I've got two children, two grandchildren, been married 38 years, and I wanted to talk. My main reason for being here today was to advertise, if you will, a Cherokee County Right to Life prayer vigil that's coming up January 21st. It's a Saturday at 3 o'clock in downtown Canton at the gazebo.
Okay, let's talk about that just right off the bat. We'll also kind of recap toward the end of our program today, but what's the significance of this event? The date I know has a special significance, and so tell our listeners what this event is all about.
Well, it coincides with the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, which was in 1973, and which is on January 23rd, I believe. And there's Georgia Right to Life, which Cherokee Right to Life is a chapter of, has a March for Life that's coming up the following Monday, January 23rd. And we have had this prayer vigil for about 12 years now. And it was a vision, if you will, of a past president, Dr. Harry Davis, to also just be in the public in the city square and have local Cherokee County pastors come and pray for all the issues surrounding pro-life and specifically commemorating the lives of the unborn. And so that's how it got its start. And I'm kind of a semi-leader of it, if you will. I organize the pastors coming to pray, and we do a little praise worship music, and then we have it's a candlelight prayer vigil, even though it's in mid-afternoon, because we've had occasions where it got so cold in the afternoon and the evening that it was a little hard to do that. So that's how it started.
Awesome. Nick, tell us a little bit about your involvement in this. I mean, from your opening introduction, you're semi-retired. I'm not sure what that is, but you can clarify that. But you've got, you've been married a long time. You've got grandkids. You're at a stage of life where a lot of people are thinking of laying back and kicking back, but it sounds like you're firing up.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And, I've heard it said not retiring, but refiring. It sounds like what you're doing. So obviously there's a passion here. Tell us about how you got involved in Right to Life and what your passion is about this.
Pleased to do so. I've been a Christian since 1980, and early in my Christian life at our church, we had Georgia Right to Life. They came and spoke to the church one Sunday on a Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and at that time, I was fascinated because I didn't realize I hadn't thought about abortion being legal and how that affected me as a believer, and so I had to ask myself, well, what is, being really pro-life? And I realized it's protecting life from conception to natural death. And then the sanctity of life that we talked about on that Sunday, they used the verse in Psalm 139, "For you formed me in my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." And it's a stunning verse to just talk about how could we not love kind of what God loves. And so that's why I'm pro-life. I would sum it up saying I'm learning to love what God loves, which is protecting life, and that he can use the least of us to make a difference this side of eternity. And Christ, also to depend on Christ, because he alone can fulfill my calling or our calling. And I pull that from 2 Timothy 1:2, which says, "I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me."
That's excellent. I really like what you say about us learning to love what God loves. And God loves life. I mean, he's the giver of life. He's the creator. And life is such a precious gift that in our, unfortunately, our culture of death that we have, death is so prevalent and
yes,
so easily just accepted, and it's just commonplace. And unfortunately, you know, Nick, I don't know if you encounter this, but I've known a lot of Christians. They're not. It's not that they're not pro-life. They're just kind of neutral. They're not. It's not a passion or hot button for them, because they just don't really know. They don't really understand all of the elements involved. And I appreciate what you're doing, because this is a way to educate people, to help them understand, you know, why should you be pro-life? Why should you care? Why should you be adamant about it? And so I know some of the things we'll discuss today will help people to understand that. Other people do understand it. They're cheering you. They're amening you. They're right on board. So, you know, but as I say, I don't think Christians are against life, but they're just not sometimes not quite up to speed on why this is an important issue.
Yes, sir. And if I could continue a little bit about my background, I look at how God moves in such seemingly mysterious ways. I mean, and his ways are not our ways, but I think back after hearing the Georgia Right to Life talk on the sanctity of human life, not long after that, my wife got involved with a group called Georgia Nurses for Life, and she met a lady there that told her story of how she was a nurse at a prominent hospital in Atlanta, and how she rescued a child that had been aborted. And she not only rescued the child, but she was able to see the child be adopted. You know, she carried the whole process through to from one that was actually thought to be dead, helped to resuscitate it, and then worked through the issues to get the child to be adopted. And so after hearing that story or that testimony, it just inspired me to think, well, what could I do? You know, and so that was one of the beginning things that got us really started in the pro-life. And I say movement, but I mean, it's just a way of life, hopefully for all of us as Christians. But like you said, some are on the fringe. They don't maybe consider the depth of it. And I even started out with the Georgia Nurses for Life helping my wife. I licked envelopes for mailings. You know, that was kind of how it started. But we used to attend the Georgia Right to Life Together for Life marches, even back in the 1980s. And then as we moved to the Cherokee County area, the church we would go to, one of my friends, his name was Dr. Harry Davis. He was the president of the Cherokee County chapter of Right to Life. And so he kind of inspired me. I started going to meetings, and that's how I got involved with the prayer vigil. And he was so passionate about it, because he just loved caring about all forms of life as a doctor. He was a general practitioner. And then also from kind of from womb to tomb, if you will, you know, he was all about it. And then I think about what drew me to even participate more deeply was I was at a Georgia Right to Life march, and one of our friends was there, and their son didn't know anything about abortion, and he heard them talk testimonies about it. And he said, how can we let this happen? You know?
Right.
So, anyway.
That's very powerful. I'm glad to see your passion, and hopefully that will spread to other people. So we've talked about the prayer vigil that you do, and of course the march at the state capitol. What are some of the other things that you do? I mean, specifically, not just Georgia Right to Life, but also Cherokee Right to Life, which is, as you said, a chapter of the larger organization. What are some of the other things that y'all are involved in?
Well, the Cherokee County Right to Life chapter, as a chapter, we promote the Georgia Right to Life, the March for Life, but we also hold we're about education too, and we hold a prayer vigil, and then an oratory contest in the spring, and so that's for high school juniors and seniors to come and talk about like a 6-minute speech average about pro-life issues, and then the winner of that contest goes on to participate in the state.
Wow, really? Contest. So someone listening right now maybe. Interested teens, homeschool parents, they say, hey, my kid can talk.
Yes, exactly. That's what we're looking for.
What do they need to do? How do they get involved on that?
Well, if they can contact me, it'd be a beginning, and I can give them the details of it. But should I share my?
I'll tell you what. Before the show's out, okay. This is kind of a warning to everybody. Heads up. We'll let Nick give out his contact info.
Okay.
And so if you're needing to write it down, we'll take care of that. So an oratory contest.
Oratory contest.
That's tremendous because you're having kids think and look at the issue and examine and come up with their own opinion.
Yes.
And reinforce what's right, what's good. I mean, it's an amazing Amen. Thing. That's tremendous. Really building the legacy for future generations by that type of event, right?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. You'll also have a life change. So, tell us about that.
Yes, we do. There's a group, I think it's Life Chains all over Georgia or something like that. We participate with them. Somebody else actually organizes the event, but we promote it heavily in our church and as much as we can. But it's the first Sunday in October, and we stand out on Riverstone Boulevard with folk, like-minded folks, and we hold up signs and we pray. It's a silent. It's not really a protest. It's more of just letting people know to be concerned about pro-life issues. And the signs say, you know, pray for the unborn, stop abortion, things like that. And I have a little testimony about that. The reason I got involved or tried to bring that into this area too is, or wanted to be a part of it, is that I heard a testimony of in Savannah area. They had a similar life chain, and a woman was driving by, and she was on her way to go have an abortion, and she saw the life chain, and she turned around, changed her mind, and she actually came back and found whoever led the really? Life chain and told them. She shared how it was amazing.
That's amazing. So that's an answer to critics who may say, "Oh, that kind of stuff's a waste of time. It doesn't do anything." I mean, just that yes, one sir. Person, and I'm sure it's more than that. But what an amazing story! Yes, so sir. She turned around.
She turned around.
Wow.
And she changed. She totally changed her decision, changed her mind, and she even let the folks know, you know, so that they could be encouraged,
yeah.
you know, by the fact that this was for naught. So not
no wonder
for naught.
You believe and are passionate about yeah. life change because, you know, life change was what happened, not just the chain that was out there, right?
Amen.
Wow, that is tremendous. What other kind of responses do you, let's take worst case scenario, you get any hecklers or anybody
oh,
that's
course.
Upset?
Yeah, you get horns honking and people waving parts of their hands that, you know, are inappropriate, things like that.
They're but, telling you you're number one, but using the wrong finger? Would,
is yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there is that too. And even the vendors of businesses near the parking lot where we park have complained about us. Well, why are you using our parking lot? But it's public. You know, it's a publicly held event. So
good for y'all. Yeah, you know how to stand up for your right
yes,
and for what's right. All right. So tell us a little bit about, we've talked a little bit about locally some things. What about Georgia Right to Life, the statewide organization?
Yes, sir. Georgia Right to Life is, praise God, they're a gospel-centered organization, and they go about their business of defending life in peaceful means through they call it a three-legged stool through legislation, education, and political action.
Mm-hmm.
And they lobby in the Georgia State House. They brought some laws to bear, the woman's right to know law about when she's going to the abortion doctor, that she has the right to know all the cautions and things about what she's about to do. And So the main effort for them right now is the personhood amendment. And personhood is a fascinating thing.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Sure.
Tell us what's going on with that, because we're about to enter into the legislative time here in Georgia. Go ahead and enlighten us about that.
So personhood is is something that comes from actually Genesis 1, 26 and 27, let us make man in our image.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the verse that talks about how God created us. And one of the definitions of the use from the pillar, they have some training called Pillars of Personhood. And the definition says, our creator made us in his image and likeness, and he created laws to protect us, even sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us, to die in our place in order to make reconciliation with human persons. So the creation made in his image. And so that defines personhood, really. And then in our century, the 21st century, the pro-life movement is about abortion and so much more, in infanticide, embryonic stem cell research, euthanasia, assisted suicide, emerging technology, all of which deny the sanctity of innocent human life. And personhood is the cultural and legal recognition of the inalienable and equal rights of all innocent human beings, regardless of age, ability, environment, or manner of conception. So when the term person is applied to a particular class of human beings, it's an affirmation of their individual rights. In other words, to be a person is to be protected by a series of God-given and constitutionally protected rights, such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So it's even in our Constitution. And the Roe versus Wade decision, Judge Blackmun even said that he put personhood in there, that if we could define when a person is a person, basically, then that there would be no standing for the Roe versus Wade decision. It would be null and void. So what Georgia Right to Life does is provides training, and that's where if you become a member of Georgia Right to Life, your money's given would help them to provide training. Like they had one in Roswell just back in November.
So when you talk about training, are you talking about a class or a seminar?
It's a seminar. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. It's a seminar called The Pillars of Personhood, and they teach you how to do apologetics, to be able to find common ground with folks and to talk about the elements of personhood. And then the follow-on to that is an event where, like at KSU, they've had the Pillars of Personhood, where they erect some banners and signage that says, like, when does a person become a person? And they to inspire conversation. So they teach you how to talk about it, and then the goal is to reach people with the message.
Right. You know, Nick, I think that so many people that hold you know, not a pro-life view, a pro-abortion view, or other things as well, their knowledge is so surface.
Yes.
That they kind of believe the hype about something that's been stirred up. And really, when you start getting more in depth, it doesn't take someone that's a learned scholar. And I think that's one thing I love about the organization you're a part of. It just is helping common, ordinary, normal people that love Christ and love God's gift of life and feel that it's worth to be worthwhile to be defended, to be advocated for. It's equipping just your ordinary person to be able to speak intelligently. Yes. And take steps and actions to address those things, but also to educate children in the upcoming legacy that we all have. So I really appreciate that about the organization that you're involved in. You know, it's a tremendous thing. So if people want to be involved, let's go ahead and give out a phone number.
Okay.
Or website, or however you want people to contact you now. We'll also do this once again before we close out the show.
Okay. Well, if you want to know more about Georgia Right to Life, the website for them is grtl.org. And then if you want to be a part of the oratory contest, or if you'd like to come and join us at Cherokee County Right to Life, mm-hmm. we would love to have folks come. You can email me at Nick Rich, that's NICKRICH 1951 at gmail.com. And my phone number is 404-665-7989.
Okay. And we'll give out that contact information again.
Okay.
In case someone was fumbling, or their pen ran out of ink, or they broke their pencil, or whatever. So we've only got a short time left in our program. I told you it'd fly by, right?
Yes, sir.
Our interview today. So let's talk about a few things. The year round Right to Life activities. I know y'all do March to Life. You do the Cherokee County Prayer Vigil. Something we haven't talked about is the 40 Days of Life. That's something that happens, I think, in Marietta.
Yes, sir. The 40 Days for Life is another organization, but it's all about praying for 40 days, and they have an event, and this one specifically in Marietta. So there's a 40 Days for Life website, and I apologize, I don't have that address. But and it does start up this spring, and so we advocate, you know, becoming a part of that. And even if you can't, they do where they pray in front of abortion houses and things like that, and it is peaceful. But you can also just pray at home. You don't have to attend, you know, the actual location where they hold it. So I would highly recommend that. And also, just to let you know about things going on with Georgia Right to Life, the legislative initiatives that they have this year are the personhood amendment.
Yeah.
And then to reemphasize, January 23rd is the March for Life down at the Capitol. What's at the Liberty Plaza across the street from the Capitol.
Okay.
And it starts at 11. And the march, there's some speakers. The Benham Brothers are speaking. And then the march comes around noon to 12:30, something like that.
Right. And so, it's a silent march,
It's a silent march, yes.
What's the significance of that?
Well, just to appear at a public place and express what we believe, and that is we believe in life, and we are in a culture which is a culture of death. So it's significant in that only, you know, typically it's not a huge number of folks come, maybe five to 10,000, which I wish it was a lot more. I know there's a lot more people that believe strongly advocating for pro-life. But there's a lot of people that are standing on the street corners, and you get the news, you know, the helicopters are always flying over and showing it. Although I hope it gets more news presence than it does, by the local news or whatever. And then there's a national march January 27th, I believe. So you can go to Washington, and I think they typically have a whole lot more people than what we have in Atlanta, of course.
And the march is just to stand up for those that can't stand for themselves.
Yes.
And that's the unborn that are essentially murdered.
Correct.
By the act of abortion. So, all right. Well, we've only got a few minutes left. Let's talk and close out our program. How do people educate themselves as to pro-life? I mean, what are some of the resources you'd recommend? And I know the big thing is just to know, just become aware.
Just to become aware, you know, there's contacting Georgia Right to Life is one way, and that's, again, their website is grtl.org, and we'd be glad to have a speaker come to your church. And that's how, you know, I'll just point back to how that's how I first heard about the pro-life issues of the day. And then the personhood training, the pillars of personhood, Georgia Right to Life would be glad to schedule. I think a minimum amount is like 40 people, but they'd be glad to schedule a training at your church. And so you can contact them about that. And then other than that, it's just talking it up too. I mean, it's you know, it points both ways. When you become involved, and we pray you'd get the word out, be able to get the word out. I'm so thankful to be here today, Tony, to be able to do that, to express my point
of view. Absolutely. Well, you conduct yourself very well. You're a great spokesperson for Cherokee. I know you probably wouldn't consider yourself that. You're just an ordinary guy that's volunteer, grandpa that's semi-retired, but you're fighting for life and you're helping people. And there may be others out there that want to get involved. Nick, if people want to contact you, what's the best way for them to do it? We already gave those contacts, but once again, if you would give your contacts out and so people can know how to get a hold of you.
My email is nickrich1951. That would be nickrich1951@gmail.com. My phone number is 404-665-7989.
Okay. And if someone wants to get involved with the Cherokee chapter, they just contact you.
They can contact me. Yes, please.
Oh, okay. And, they just show up or,
we had monthly meetings on first Tuesday of the month, and we're working through some, personnel changes in our group. Yep. So, but still contact me and we'll,
so you're the contact guy.
Yes.
Okay. So be sure to do that. Let's get that info out just one more time. And, before we get ready to close out our program.
Okay. nickrich1951@gmail.com. And my phone is 404-665-7989.
All right. Well, Nick, it's been a pleasure having you on the program today. Thank you for being involved and being bold enough to come on a radio program and talk about that involvement for such an outstanding organization, Cherokee Right to Life, part of Georgia Right to Life. Nick, it's been a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you, Tony, and I hope you'll come and pray on January 21st at 3. Here's your invitation.
Okay, very good. Well, this is Tony Crawford with Cherokee Talk. I'm the pastor of Dayspring Church. It's been my pleasure to be the host today. And at Cherokee Talk, we always seek to motivate you, inspire you, inform you, educate you. Hopefully, we've done that for you today. God bless. Goodbye.